Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and we are in the thick of the Christmas season. Lots of hustle and bustle going on around us and in our own homes. So how do we manage all the busyness of Christmas and still keep our focus on Jesus? This year, we're celebrating Advent as a church at Christ Fellowship, and this week, our focus is on the shepherds. How did they receive the joyous news that Christ would be born? We'll talk about that and how to survive the holiday craziness next. All right. Welcome back. We're back.
Great. I love Christmas. I love the podcast, but I love Christmas podcasts.
Yes. Christmas podcasts are fun. So Bruce and I are here, and there's only two of us for this week.
And I know why.
Why?
Because you wrote the study guide this week.
I wrote the Engage God Daily for this week. Yeah. I got to say, though, it's been super fun to have guest authors.
Yeah.
I hope people who are reading it are enjoying the different perspectives and points of view.
Well, and also, if you're listening and you're a writer or an aspiring writer, you like to write, contact Lisa, right? You
would be glad for to. Sure. Yes. I love to help and mentor and edit and encourage. And, you know, some people need more help than others. And I'm happy to meet you where you're at.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's I love a church like ours who really wants to elevate different voices.
Yeah, we want to engage the body. And so if you have writing gifts, we invite you to use them.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're recording this ahead of time. I'm not going to try to fake it and pretend we're not. First of all, we're wearing the same clothes. So
that's the problem with video.
Let me tell you why that we are doing this ahead of time. Because I will be out of town.
I hope it's a good reason.
It is. It's okay. My 30th wedding anniversary.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. I know you're thinking she can't possibly be old enough.
I was. I thought it maybe 30th birthday or.
But yeah, so we are going to go away for just kind of a little long weekend.
That's great.
Just the two of us. So and that's where I will be.
You and Steve are well deserving. So.
Yes. Well, he is the best and it just will be nice to spend some time together. Just the two of us. Outside the normal routine of life. So because of that, you were gracious enough to, like, let's do two.
Sure.
So we're still talking about Advent. We're still doing Christmas. And I know by this point in the month of December, the pressure, people start to feel the pressure. Like, have I bought all the gifts? Have I made all the arrangements? You know, who's coming to Christmas dinner? Are we traveling? If we're traveling, have I made those arrangements? And so at this point in the season in mid-December, it can feel a little hectic and overwhelming. And, you know, maybe there's some tension in the family because one person wants you to come to this celebration and this other person doesn't want to go. And, you know, so Bruce, help us. What should our focus be to help us get through the craziness of Christmas?
Yeah, I think one thing is it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to every party. You don't have to go to every event that comes down the road because you can feel why we've got to take our kids to go on this tour of lights.
Magical
sleigh ride, whatever it all is. We've got to go to the big ice display and whatever all the things are. And I think, no, you really don't. And actually for kids, a lot of them would love just to be at home with having your full attention.
Right.
As opposed to being drug out somewhere again to go do something else. So I just want to give you the freedom at Christmas to say no to a few things and not feel like you have to say yes to everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about this last week's podcast of just about sort of like setting realistic expectations and sharing those. I found over the years that it's really helpful to explain that to my extended family. Like,
that's right.
Like, here's what we're doing as a family. This is what we've prayed about, thought about. We think this is best for our kids that we do X and Y. And, you know, sometimes they understand and they're like, that's great. And other times not. But, you know, that's just, if you set expectations ahead
that's
of time,
right.
Instead of trying to avoid the conversation and avoid the conflict, it's better.
And I think that's the case, not only with activities, like an event you go to, but also feeling obligated to do the cards.
Yeah.
And it's mid-December and you're like, oh my gosh, we didn't take the picture and we haven't got the Christmas cards out.
Yes.
And I find I get Christmas cards after Christmas with apologies. We didn't get to it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I just feel bad. It's all right. I wasn't, you know, really sitting home waiting for your Christmas card.
I didn't feel neglected by the lack of Christmas card.
It's so if you're like feeling this last minute of, oh my gosh, I didn't fill in the blank, send out a Christmas card.
Yeah.
Or the same for who all you feel like you have to send gifts to.
Yeah.
And having a conversation with extended family of, hey, you know, we're not going to do gifts this year for the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, the grandparents, whoever it might be. Or a little agreement, hey, let's all agree we're not going to do that.
Right.
I think that can bring more simplicity.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would just encourage you to think and pray through those things ahead of time.
Yeah.
Talk to your spouse about it. And then you guys decide what works for you. And then, you know, just, you know, invite other people to share, invite other people to love you the way you need to be loved.
And there's...
And to give you grace.
That's right. There's financial pressure to feel like, oh my goodness, sometimes you've gotten a gift already from someone. You're like, wait, they got me a more expensive gift than I got them. Or you find out about it, a certain gift, or you feel like you're competing with the other parents, the other grandparents in situations where there's multiple families involved. And boy, just to relax on that and say, it's really about loving your children and your family members.
Right.
And money is not the best way to say that. Not, some kids think that.
The bigger, sure.
The more expensive the gift, or the bigger it is, just if the box is bigger.
Depending on their age.
And then, of
course,
they're
little, I mean, they get older, they want little boxes.
Right. Then there's the whole, yeah, exactly. Then there's the whole irony, though, that they actually have more fun playing with the box than the present.
Right. Or like if you ask them a month later, like ask your kids on January 25th, what did you get for Christmas? And see how long it takes them to respond.
That's right. So back to simplicity, just taking a breath. On some of those things.
Yeah. And just, you know, we're celebrating Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, and I know it's like Jesus is the reason for the season became kind of an overused cliche, but it's a good reminder that what we're celebrating is God's gift to us, and that we are given a gift that we then get to share with other people, which is the ultimate gift, which is knowing Jesus and inviting people to know Jesus, inviting them to worship him as Savior and Lord.
And boy, being there with other people, we've been talking about some over these weeks of presence.
Yeah.
And over presence, the two different words, you know, a gift over, but the gift of your presence. And I was really encouraged by a friend of mine because what something he said, because part of Christmas is Christmas movies and sports.
Yes.
And he said, I made a commitment that I would not let a football game interfere with real life. Mm. And so he said, I really want to watch certain games are going to be played over Christmas and New Year's.
Right.
Bowl games and all. And he said, but I've made a commitment. I don't want that to interfere with real life. So it's, what do you do if family's over and they want your attention, but there's a bowl game on?
Right.
Now, sometimes your whole family can watch it together and that's
sure,
beautiful.
And that's really fun.
But I think that's a tension over Christmas.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. There's always things competing for our attention constantly.
Right.
And so just giving someone your undivided attention, especially in the day and age we live in, is really, really is meaningful.
And I would say another thing, my wife and I are both, Tamara and I are both have, we can be introverts in our personality. And sometimes when we're with family, there's a place where we start reaching a limit, like, okay, but but you can't really leave.
Yeah.
And so we'll say, hey, I need 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And we'll go outside or go into a room by ourselves.
Take a little walk.
And it used to be we felt really guilty. Like we're... The whole family is doing something, watching a football game or playing a game or all talking, and it's loud. And we're like, I just need to step aside for a little while and step out and not feel guilty. So we're like, and we clue each other in now.
Yeah.
Hey, I need about a 10-minute break.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Go lay down for a minute.
Yes.
And then come back and re-enter.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's not leave the Christmas season more stressed and burned out than we were when we entered it.
I talked to someone else, and it's harder when you, this was a person who's a little bit older, and I said, well, how are you feeling about Christmas? And this lady said, well, I'm just really looking forward to it being over.
Wow.
And I felt kind of sad.
Yeah, now, but I get it.
I know they're looking forward to being with family, but it was like, wow, I'm going to be making, I believe it was 7 trips to DFW.
Yeah.
And just the exhaustion and the frenzy, and I thought, boy, I wish there were a way to, and I think probably if this lady's family knew, they'd probably say, I can take an Uber from the airport. It's going to be okay.
Right. Yes, exactly. No, that's good. Those are all good points. And we just want, I mean, our heart is we want people to enjoy this season, enjoy being with loved ones, and enjoy the gift of God. And
that's right.
Jesus. Okay, well, we are in week 3 of our Advent. So we, you know, we've been doing the characters. We started with the prophets, then we did the angels, and now we're going to do the shepherds.
I love the shepherds.
I love the shepherds. I was really happy. I let the guest authors pick first.
Yeah.
But I was very happy that I ended up with the shepherds. Because I do. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like a kinship with the shepherds a bit.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't like highbrow, they weren't elite, they weren't well educated. They were just common folks who but did a very difficult, demanding job, which is looking...
Today they would be, I think they'd be hourly workers today.
Yeah. And they're out there looking after creatures that are difficult, stubborn, prone to wander, prone to get into trouble.
It wasn't a fun job, really, that people looked forward to being a shepherd, that you were dreaming one day you'd grow up to be a shepherd.
Yeah.
That's not the way it was.
It was back-breaking labor.
Right.
And with frustrating creatures. So you think wrangling a bunch of kids is difficult. Right. Wrangling a bunch of sheep there's a great video that I've seen posted several times on Instagram and other platforms where the shepherd is like, there's like a ditch and the shepherd is like getting the sheep out of the ditch and he finally gets it wet, you know, hoisted out of the ditch and then it runs off and goes about 20 feet and then turns and runs right back in
right
the ditch
back into the ditch.
And I'm like, oh, that's how the Lord must feel about us. So let's talk about that a little bit. God often is portrayed as a shepherd in the Old Testament, and Jesus directly calls himself the Good Shepherd in the Gospels. So what do you think it is about this image of God being a shepherd, and why is it meaningful?
Yeah, I think on several levels. One is there's a humility there that surprises us. We're so keen on something big and glamorous and amazing, and yet God and Jesus is humble.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the aspect of care and care for difficult creatures. And yes, may sheep might even be harder than children, but while God and Jesus are called shepherd, we're called sheep.
Yeah.
So I think for a good reason, because we keep getting in the ditch.
Yes, we run right back in the ditch.
Or
sometimes.
get ourselves all full of thorns and wander off.
Yep. Or and refuse to go where we know we need to go.
And so what a beautiful picture that God is there for us. He's tender.
Yeah.
He binds up our wounds when we break something because we've done something dumb.
Yeah.
And he feeds us and protects us from the lions and the thieves are going to come steal the sheep, or the wild animals are going to hurt them. And God is our protector.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting that of all the people that God could have sent the angels to on Christmas to share the announcement that, you know, Christ is born, he chooses a group of shepherds out in the fields, just doing their job, like ordinary, like you said, like it'd be the equivalent of just being sort of like an ordinary day laborer or, you know, hourly worker.
That's right.
Today. And so I think that should also speak to us saying, look, you know, God values us, even if the world doesn't necessarily value us.
That's right.
So the angels appear, which must have been just mind-blowing. Right? It's like the sky was just filled with angels.
That's one of those moments. There's multiple ones in the Bible. Like, I wish I was there.
Right?
I would
have
loved
to see the video.
That. I know it. To see them and to hear them all singing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Incredible. So what is the message that the shepherds give? That the angels give the shepherds?
They say, this is Christ the Lord, the Savior, Christ the Lord. And so they use three different titles to describe Jesus, which each are so powerful that Jesus is the Savior, and he is the Christ, which is the word that means Messiah. So he is the promised Messiah, and he is the Lord, which is the name for God.
Yeah.
You have three amazing titles of a baby.
Right.
I mean, you have to think about it. They're saying there's this baby. And
it's not in a palace.
No, in a manger wrapped up in these cloths, who is the Savior, Christ the Lord.
Yeah.
This really paradoxical imagery going on.
And he makes a point that this is good news for who?
For the entire world.
For the entire world.
Everybody.
Yeah. Which I think is amazing because, you know, the Jews were expecting the Jewish Messiah, thinking he would be good news for them.
That's right. And he was.
And he was.
But more than that.
But even more than that, Christ didn't come just for one group of people.
Yeah.
He came for the whole world. in those three ways. He comes as our Savior, he comes as our Lord, and he comes as our
Messiah.
Yeah. So the shepherds respond just as we probably would want them to do, which is what?
Yeah, they run to Bethlehem to go see Jesus.
Yeah, they take action. They don't go, that was interesting. they say, let's go see.
That's right. And I think that's great for all of us at Christmas to say, could we see Jesus more than we have?
Yeah.
And I think, including for people who are doubting, if you're wondering, is this all really true? And you're, hey, Christmas is great. Is run to go see Jesus. Check it out. Go to the manger, quote unquote, and see this Jesus.
Yeah. So they do. And I just can imagine what that scene might have looked like. I have it kind of a movie in my head.
Yeah.
Where these like rugged kind of shepherds smelling like sheep because they've been out in the field with
That's
them.
Right. That's right.
Like come in and just what Mary must have thought. And they come to see the baby.
That's right.
And they're, you know, they look down at Jesus, the Savior of the world, right there. And then what do?
Then they go out and share the news.
Yeah.
They go tell everybody about this child they've seen. And again, what a great part of Christmas for us to share Christmas with family and friends and the real meaning of Christmas.
Yeah.
Jesus, not all about Santa Claus or Elf on the Shelf or some other dimension, the Grinch and all those parts that have now become cultural. But let's talk about Jesus Christ himself, the Savior, Christ the Lord.
Yeah, and what that means.
That's
and
right.
Not just what that means for the whole world, but what that means for us as individuals.
That's right. To share your own story of what he means to me.
Yeah, it's like, what has he saved you from?
That's right.
And then how is he your Lord and King and Messiah? Yeah, I think that's, people respond when we talk about, when we don't preach at them, but we talk about what we've experienced.
That's right. That's right. And I think even in other cultural contexts, when you have people from different religions or who weren't Christian at all or weren't raised that way, there's also people have respect for people's traditions, their experience for sure, their testimony. But also, hey, this is how I celebrate Christmas. Mm-hmm. Could I share with you why it's important to me? Or if someone is Muslim or Buddhist or Jewish or of a different religion, there's a respect for, share about your tradition, your celebration, what is Christmas? And that's an acceptable way of communicating.
Yeah, I think that's good. And just like you said, you started, the humility of it, the idea that Jesus came, but not in power, not, you know, he will.
Yes, he will.
The second coming will be that way. But he came first as a human, as an infant, who then experienced all the sort of pains and frustrations of humanity just without sin. And so that's such a caring, a picture of a caring God who entered into our experience through the incarnation and announced it to a bunch of shepherds. So I think that's great.
I do too. And there was music with the angels singing. And I think that's another avenue to share with
yeah.
To share what's a song you love or what are your favorite Christmas carols. And there's so much truth in them to say, hey, did you hear that carol? You know, my favorite line is, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So let's be like the shepherds. Let's share the news of what
and
Jesus
I love
did.
How the story ends, because then it says they went away glorifying and praising God.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's part of Christmas, is worshiping God ourselves or with other people, that this is a time of joy and celebration and praise. And how wonderful to do that, whether it's at a church service or a concert or just you at home by yourself with you and God.
Yeah, that's good. All right, Bruce, well, why don't you pray for us?
Sure. God, I pray that we would respond like the shepherds. Thank you that you sent your angels to bring the news to the humble shepherds and to each of us. And I pray that we too would go see Jesus. We would share Jesus and we would glorify and praise you for sending your only son. We worship you this Christmas, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody, we will see you back next week.